I'm going to call the meeting to order. This evening, I see we have scouts with us. So you could designate a leader and come forward and introduce your troop. Now, that was a short election. Come forward and use the microphone.
Hello, we are Troop 533. We are from Kenosha. We are in St. Mary's Lutheran Church.
And you're here this evening for?
We are here right now for some of our merit badges so all of us can get our Eagle required in.
I usually mention this at the Eagle Scout things. You don't have a merit badge for rock picking. And if you want one, you can come out to the farm, and I have a lot of rocks, and you guys can help out, and I'll make sure everybody gets a badge. But if you would lead us in the pledge in your troop.
Yep.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and thank your troop for being here this evening. That moves us on to item 3, roll call.
John Steinberg.
Here.
Chris Keckler.
Here.
Mike Polakoff.
Here.
Dave Klimisch.
Here.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Quorum being present, that moves us on to item 4, minutes of the meeting. It's for June 17, 2019, presented to board members in written form.
Move approval of the minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to item 5, public hearing. We have one on the agenda this evening. That is item A. Consider resolution 1921 for the discontinuation of portions of 128th Avenue North of 104th Street and Prairie Highlands Corporate Park.
Mr. President, members of the board, this resolution this evening, 19-21, is for the discontinuance of portions of 128th Avenue North of 104th Street in the Prairie Highlands Corporate Park. On May 6, 2019, the board had adopted resolution 19-15 to initiate the discontinuance of a portion of 128th Avenue, north of 104th Street, adjacent to Lot 1 of CSM 2866 within the Corporate Park, pursuant to Section 66.1003 of the statutes. These small portions of 128th Avenue rights-of-way, as shown on the screen, are proposed to be vacated as shown and are legally described as attached in the documents. The segments right-of-way were dedicated originally by CSMs 2849 and 2866. They were never constructed and are no longer needed because the proposed shared use path is being eliminated and being replaced with a sidewalk and Gold Bear Drive, which extends to the east between 128th Avenue and the East Frontage Road, will not be extended to the west. So these additional bump outs or extra areas of right-of-way are not to be needed. The land area that's adjacent is owned by the Village of Pleasant Prairie. It's identified as tax parcel number 914-121-244-0603. On June 6, 2019, all required property owners were notified via regular mail, and the required Class 3 notice was published in the Kenosha News on June 10th, 17th, and 24th, 2019. And this was to notify the public of the public hearing being held this evening. So this is a matter for the hearing, and the staff would like to continue it at this time.
This being a public hearing, I'm going to open it up for public comment or question. Is there a sign-up sheet this evening?
Mr. President, there was no sign-ups this evening.
Anyone wishing to speak on this item? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and open up board comment or question.
There's no houses or buildings that this affects, is that correct?
There are no structures whatsoever.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion a second for adoption of resolution 1921. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item 6, citizens' comments.
Mr. President, there were no sign-ups this evening.
Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments. We'll move on to item 7, administrator's report.
I have nothing to report.
This is going faster than that election we had. Moves us on to item 8, old business. We have a tabled item. Motion to remove from the table.
Motion.
Second.
A motion, a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That item is item 8. Receive the Planning Commission recommendation and approve 2 certified survey maps and a memorandum of understanding, including TID District 7 public improvement plans as it relates to State Line 94 Corporate Park.
Mr. President, members of the board, the petitioner recently created State Line 94 Corporate Park and is working on plans to install the infrastructure, which includes sanitary sewer, the lift station, public water, roadway improvements, including streetlights and street trees, in and along 120th Avenue, or the East Frontage Road. And this is to serve the new development referred to as State Line 94 Corporate Park. The public improvements being considered tonight are required, all required, for the first building to be known as Fresenius Cabe. This new building company will be located at the northeast corner of 120th Avenue and 122nd Street. As you can see by the slide, it's the southernmost building in their corporate park. The Plan Commission previously approved preliminary site and operational plans for the site and the building shell for Fresenius Cabe at previous Plan Commission meetings. One last item related to their request is a modification to the conditional use provisions this evening as part of the M5 district. State Line 94 Corporate Park public improvements and certified survey maps. Again, there are a number of improvements that need to be made by the developer. First of all, roadway improvements. A TIA, or a traffic impact analysis, has been completed as part of the village's Lakeview West traffic analysis. The TIA was updated by State Line 94 developer. The TIA was then approved by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. At this time, as part of the development, certain improvements will need to be made at the 120th Avenue or East Frontage Road and 122nd Street intersections, as well as turning lanes at the entrances to Fresenius Cabe development site. Additional roadway improvements will be required when additional land in the corporate park is developed to the north. The village, with the assistance from the developer, has submitted a transportation economic assistance grant application to the DOT, known as a T grant. We'll be talking about that this evening. And this is for additional financial assistance for the off-site public improvements to the East Frontage Road. This T grant is subject to the creation of jobs and job guarantees with the state. The application parts of it are under review with the state DOT, and more information is going to be submitted once it's been executed by the village. There are 3 slides, if you would like to turn, or you can see the slides. The first one talks about the roadway improvements extending on 120th Avenue. The next are the sanitary sewer extension options, along with the lift station and the water main extension. I'll begin with public sewer first. Public sanitary sewer will be extended south from the end of 116th Avenue near the Breeze Terrace apartment development. It'll be south through the corporate park within easements to the new lift station. That new lift station will be at 120th Avenue at about the 1600 block. The lift station will be constructed by the developer, and upon completion and acceptance will be owned and maintained by the village. The sanitary sewer will continue south to service Fresenius Cabe site, and the sewer extension then will be further extended to service land south of 122nd Street, as well as some lands east of 120th Avenue, west of Fresenius Cabe. With respect to the next public improvement, public water system improvements, public water main and related appurtenances will be extended within the 120th Avenue right-of-way from about 108th Street south to 122nd Street and along 122nd Street to the east side of the corporate park. With respect to the TID project plan impact, this development will need to be in compliance with overall development plans and TID 7 project plan for the State Line 94 Corporate Park, including the development agreement. In addition, the village will enter into a memorandum of understanding agreement, which we have for you this evening. You've seen it previously in draft form for the installation of the public improvements that I've mentioned. The attached MOU and the related exhibits will be finalized and executed prior to the installation of the public improvements. In addition, the T grant needs to be approved by the DOT prior to any of the road improvements being bid out or being constructed. The next item for them are the certified survey maps. There's actually two certified survey maps. The southern certified survey map identifies parcel one, which is 46.9 acres for the development of the Fresenius Kabi facility. And then the northern CSM will be for parcel two, which is 11.3 acres. It's primarily wetlands and environmental corridor. And then parcel three is the northern area of their development. It occupies about 230.2 acres. That will likely be further subdivided in the future as new development is proposed. And then parcel four is that north CSM. It's the lift station site as well. So also in your packets is the memorandum of understanding that was originally prepared and drafted as part of the development agreement, which we've pulled it out as one of the exhibits, and we will complete it as part of the approval process, again, as they're moving forward with the infrastructure. And in this case, since they are starting with parcel one, which is of the south CSM at the south end, all of the infrastructure is coming from the north and extending to the south. So all of that infrastructure will need to be installed and completed prior to occupancy by Fresenius Kabi down at the south end. And this MOU just reemphasizes and outlines all of the attachments, all the approvals for the infrastructure, and it goes through and references all of the construction documents, the village approvals that are required, and again, it just it's a formality of finalizing and letting everyone know that we're proceeding with the first phase, which is actually the southernmost phase for this development. So with that, the staff does recommend approval of the certified survey maps, the memorandum of understanding, as well as the TID 7 public improvement plans. Those plans are subject to comments and conditions, as was recently provided by our village engineer to their engineers for this project. And this project was before the Village Plan Commission for their review and consideration.
John?
Mike?
At the Plan Commission, a representative from Kabi approached the board, Plan Commission, and I asked the rate of pay, and it was nice to hear that it goes from $19 and some cents an hour up to $34 and some cents an hour. And for the amount of employees that they're going to have there, and for that pay scale, that's something good for the village in this area. And I look forward to seeing that building to come to completion, and we certainly welcome you to Pleasant Prairie.
We do have representatives here if there are any other questions that you might have, both from the developer as well as from Fresenius Kabi.
Any questions from the board?
I don't have any.
No. Hearing none?
Parcel 2 is essentially unbuildable. It's wetland.
I wouldn't say it's unbuildable. It has a great deal of woods on it, has wetlands on it. So, I mean, I think it's substantially limited, but you might be able to put something on it. Nothing's been advanced to us yet on that parcel.
Okay. Move approval. Do we need to separate out the MOU from the CSMs, or can it all be as one?
I think it can be as one. You want them separated?
All right. Move approval of the certified survey maps.
Second, approval of certified survey maps.
We have a motion and a second for the certified survey maps. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Move approval of the MOU as outlined.
Second. Approval of the MOU.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Welcome.
Okay. That concludes item 8, old business. Move on to item 9, new business. First item being item 8, receive the Planning Commission recommendation and approve ordinance 1916. This is for zoning text amendments to sections 420, 141, 420, 148B, and 420, 125.2E. as it relates to conditional uses listed in the M5 production manufacturing district.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is Zoning Text Amendment Ordinance 19-16, and this is to amend Section 420-141. And this is related to the purpose and findings for conditional uses, as well as 42148B relates to the conditional use standards, and 42125.2E relates to the uses listed as conditional uses in that M5 district. The Village Board adopted Resolution 19-19 to establish use and standards for the granting of conditional uses for potential distribution uses in the M5 production and manufacturing district, and referred the proposed changes to the staff for further evaluation, which we have done. We have since brought these changes back to the Village Plan Commission for a public hearing at their last meeting, and those recommendations are being presented to you this evening. Upon evaluation of the uses allowed within the M5 district, in particular those that may be allowed with a conditional use permit, the following amendments are proposed to the sections I referenced. And they're highlighted in yellow in your staff packets of information. But what we are proposing to do is to make some modifications then in the conditional use section. And this would be E, sub-parentheses 3, where it states that uses that further the intent of the Village Board in creating the M5 district by creating high-skill, living-wage jobs and advancing or introducing clean industry or technology to the region, provided that the uses are not classified as high hazard group H pursuant to section 307 of the IBC, these uses include the following. A, packaging, fulfillment, and distribution of products in the medical, pharmaceutical, pharmacy, or nutrition or nutraceutical industries. To qualify as potential conditional use, the use shall meet at least two of the following three criteria. One, the use creates high-skill, living-wage jobs at the time of the conditional use application. Two, the use forms a regional, multi-state, or national corporate headquarters. Or three, the use provides significant and measurable value to the land around them and or the village through unique infrastructure, technology, security, branding, or aesthetic contributions. The second use, B, that we are proposing as a conditional use, are software, cloud computing, autonomous vehicle mobility, artificial intelligence, or similar technology of the future. To qualify as potential conditional use, the use shall meet at least two of the following criteria. One, the use creates high-skill living wage jobs at the time of the conditional use application. Two, the use forms a regional, multi-state, or national headquarters. Or three, the use provides significant or measurable value to the land around them and or the village through unique infrastructure, technology, security, branding, or aesthetic contributions. We also corrected a couple of minor typos and wordsmithed a few changes in 420-141. And then we also clarified a point in section 42148B as it relates to the standards. So these modifications to the M5 district came before the Village Plan Commission at their last meeting. Again, at the direction of both the Plan Commission and the board, it was very clear that we wanted to keep the intent of the M5 district in place with respect to why we created the district, but it was just very important that the M5 district still, as a basis, provide for jobs. It was not intended to be just a distribution facility where there would be a lot of trucking, but there would need to be opportunities for living wage and high-skilled jobs to be created. And in this case, those two different areas that we've added as conditional use permits, those are the two that the staff was recommending. The Fresenius Kabi project was approved by the Plan Commission conditionally at their last meeting, subject to this modification going forward in the M5 district.
Mr. President, as Gene indicated, the Plan Commission approved these. I think it's a positive step forward in enhancing the M5 district for the goals that I believe we all wanted to begin with. So I motion we approve Ordinance 1916 for the M5 conditional use permit amendment.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Further discussion?
Just shows how, I think this is important to show how things are changing in the world, and technology is a big part of that. Technology today is really no different than when you were working at a factory. You know, it's just as important with technology today as when you were working on a line at American Motors building Ramblers. So this is good, and I it's the right move for the village and farming.
So you and I now understand technology. Is that what you're saying?
I don't have the first clue of technology, but put in perspective, 30 years ago, the village had no IT department. It's now 9 strong. So, I mean, that's how much we've evolved into technology. So
30 years ago, we had rotary dial phones, too.
That's right.
Okay. Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item B. Receive the Planning Commission recommendation to approve Resolution 1922 for a preliminary plan for the proposed 19 single-family lot subdivision to be known as Ashbury East, which is generally located east of 94th Avenue and north of Bain Station Road.
Mr. President, members of the board, you have before you Resolution 19-22, and this is for the preliminary plat on behalf of the Ashbury Creek LLC developer. This is for the land that is just to the east of 94th Avenue and north of Bain Station Road. The subdivision will be known as Ashbury East. There were a number of previous approvals that were granted by the Village Plan Commission and then subsequently by the Village Board for this project, the first of which was on June 20th, 2016. A conceptual plan had been advanced to the Village on behalf of the previous landowner, Lexington Homes, for the Fountain Ridge Apartment Development. And as part of that development, they had laid out an area for single-family homes to the east. That project has since been sold to Ashbury East LLC. Dustin Harp is doing the development, and they have decided to keep the name intact and keep the land and the lots substantially similar to what was originally approved back in 2016. Since that time, they have submitted the preliminary plat, which is the next step in the land development process, to subdivide the property. There's a total of 9.89 acres. They are looking to create 19 single-family lots to be known as Ashbury East. The lots range in size from 13,180 square feet to 20,201 square feet. The average lot size is 14,593 square feet. The lots meet the minimum requirements of the R4.5 single-family district, and each lot is required to be a minimum of 12,500 with 80 feet of lot frontage, which can be reduced on the cul-de-sacs or the curves. All lots meet the minimum lot depth of 125 feet. There is an outlot 1 that is on the very far north, as north is actually to the left. The very north end, outlot 1 is 1.71 acres. The outlot will be dedicated to the Ashbury East Homeowners Association, and this will be for open space, stormwater, drainage, retention basin, access and maintenance purposes. This the same outlot will have an easement granted to the village as well. The single-family lots are proposed, as I indicated, to be R4.5. We'll need to remove the current UHO, the Urban Landholding Overlay District, on the property for the lots to develop. The zoning map amendment will be submitted when the final plat is submitted to the village staff and the village for review and approval. All public improvements will need to be made by the developer. We'll be extending those public improvements from 94th Avenue and 84th Place into the development and north and south in 93rd Court. Specifically, in addition, public sidewalks will be extended adjacent to 84th Place on both sides of the street that connects to the sidewalks in 94th Avenue. In the future, there will be a multi-use path that will be within the right-of-way of Bain Station Road. Some additional funds had been deposited previously by the Fountain Ridge developer for their fair share cost of the either sidewalk or trail improvements along Bain Station. With respect to sanitary sewer and water, they'll be extended throughout the development, and they'll need to connect into the municipal facilities. Again, all lots will be serviced by municipal sanitary sewer and storm sewer. The construction access will be from Bain Station Road, then north on 94th, and then on 84th Place into the development. If any damages occur to the existing 94th Avenue, the developer will be responsible for any costs for any of the damages. An Ashbury East Homeowners Association will be created, and the Declaration of Restrictions, Covenants, and Easements, substantially similar to what exists currently in Ashbury, have been prepared and drafts have been provided to the village for our review and approval. Again, this is the next step in the development process. The final step will be the final plat. By that time, all the detailed engineering plans, landscaping plans, and all the other plans for the development will need to be completed and reviewed and approved by the staff and reviewed by the Plan Commission and the board. This was before the Village Plan Commission at a public hearing at their last meeting. The staff recommends approval along with the Plan Commission, subject to the comments and conditions as outlined.
Just one question, Jean. You said there's going to be dedicated open space on the north end.
It's outlined.
That abuts up to the Kenosha Grounds Pond?
It's a dedicated easement.
Easement.
For, and the open space is the pond. So there's not a separate park or area.
Right. Okay.
What the village gets is an easement, and the Homeowners Association will own Outlot 1. There's no dedicated parkland. It's just open space with an easement to the village for maintenance purposes. We have the right but not the obligation to enforce should we choose to.
Okay.
Are we receiving any funds for park development or for use in that neighborhood, in the larger neighborhood? Are they making any park?
Are they making any park improvements?
Right.
No, they'll be dedicated. They will be paying fees in lieu of through impact fees.
All right.
So this whole neighborhood drains to the pond on the northwest side?
That's correct. All goes to one pond.
And the public street A, that's where the mailboxes are currently? Is there a spot where the mailboxes are going to go that are currently there?
That was pointed out to the developer. I think that's going to be addressed between now and the final plat.
Okay.
Where those mailboxes are going to go.
And then I'm thinking about the 8-9 houses that are there plus the neighborhood. Are there working hour limitations for the
We do. We do have them 7 a.m. in the morning till 10 at night, but typically we ask them to shut down by 9, but typically there's nobody working that late, and we've asked them to have a little bit later hours, 8 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays.
And if they're working after, especially come winter or fall, if they're working after nightfall, are there any light screens so that headlights and such don't blaze into the back windows of the existing houses?
We could. I mean, that's never been an issue before, but we can certainly address that with them.
I'm anticipating if it's a two-year construction and there's lots of houses there,
mm-hmm.
Or does the developer have a point of contact if there's people in the neighborhood that have concerns, or do they come to us and then we are between the developer and the neighborhood?
We would prefer if they went directly to their development manager, who's Nancy Washburn.
Okay.
She's met with all of those residents twice now, and has talked to them about any concerns that they may have. And so she really is their point of contact. So hopefully she will reach out to them first. But if they don't get satisfaction, they can always contact the village.
Do you know, so she's met with those neighbors in particular, along with the HOA? So her contact information is available to Ashbury?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not sure how we'd put up a light screen, or if it's becomes a concern. Is there something to address it?
You know, we've not had that as a concern. Typically, when it hits nightfall, most contractors stop working unless they're inside of a home working.
Okay.
But typically, they're not working at nightfall. It's difficult to see.
There's a point of contact with the developer, so our staff don't have to run interference.
Mm-hmm. She met with the neighbors prior to her coming to the Plan Commission. I move approval of 1922.
A second.
We have a motion and a second for Resolution 1922. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. That brings us to item C and D, which have been requested to take them together. Is there a motion to do C and D together?
Second.
Motion is second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item C is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and approve Ordinance 1917 for comprehensive plan amendments to the Village 2035 Land Use Plan Map 9.9 and update Appendix 10-3 as it relates to vacant properties at 7807 and 7887 120th Avenue. This is for the proposed Kings and Convicts Brewery, restaurant, event space, and future hotel. Item D is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and approve Ordinance 19-18 and Ordinance 1919. This is for zoning map and text amendments to rezone the remainder of the property into the planned development district and create a specific development ordinance for the project known as Kings and Convicts Brewery, restaurant, and event space and future hotel. Gene?
Mr. President, members of the board, we have three requests this evening. Ordinance numbers 17, 18, and 19. And these all come from Mark Eberle, PE with Nielsen, Matheson, and Barber on behalf of Bronco Topanjic. And this is for the vacant properties at 7807 and 7887 120th Avenue. These project request items are for the proposed Kings and Convicts development that is being proposed in Pleasant Prairie. On February 4th, 2019, the board had approved a master conceptual plan for the development of 7.4 acres of land in the 7800 block of 120th Avenue. And this was for the development of a hotel, conference facility, and a brewery. And this land, as you know, is just south of Highway 50, and it's on the east side of the East Frontage Road off of I-94. The master conceptual plan, again, was approved on February 4th, 2019 by the Village Board. And the layout shows you it's a long linear development. Land was recently acquired from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation for the north one-third of the development for additional parking. There is a proposed hotel that is in the center of the development. And specifically what we're focusing in on this evening is the proposed Kings and Convicts Brewery, which is on the south end of the development. The petitioners request them this evening. First is a comprehensive plan amendments, Ordinance 19-17. And this is to remove the freeway-oriented service center designation from the commercial lands designation and to correctly show the field delineated wetlands within the park, recreation, and other open space lands and to place those field verified wetlands in that appropriate category in our comprehensive plan, both on the land use plan map as well as in the appendix in the land use plan map 9.9. Previously, before the plan commission, just so that I can show you some of the other slides, there was a preliminary site and operational plan that was approved preliminarily by the plan commission. The intent is they are going to be doing this in stages or phases with respect to its construction. So they are looking to begin and get these approvals to begin with some grading, some additional tree cutting, filling of the site, and installing of these industrial-type steel piling retaining wall. And this is around the south side, the east side, and the part of the north side of the site. The whole building, as we've talked about previously, has an industrial theme to it. And they're trying to take off from the theme from the powder plant explosion, part of our history in Pleasant Prairie. And so it'll have a very rugged feel and look to the building and to the site. Specifically, they are looking to install also underground stormwater facilities, concrete ponds. I know that there were a number of questions at the Plan Commission meeting as to where these ponds would be located. And at one time, I think that they were still looking at more of a linear underground system, but now I think they're going to cluster it and have more of a northeastern and a southeastern areas for their ponds, for their concrete ponds. The facility, as we indicated, is the Kings and Convicts Brewery. And I'm just going to run through a couple of these quickly, and then we'll go into some of the other details. As we presented as part of the Plan Commission meeting, there's a lot of specifics that talked about the brewery itself and the tap room and the brewery tours, the dining area, the bar area, the lounge area, a patio area, a number of different areas that will be incorporated into this facility. to accommodate all of their guests. And it will be open basically from the starting with the brewery operations from 5 in the morning till 5 at night, till 5 p.m. The tap room hours from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m., 7 days a week. Production area employment, 13 to 25 full and part-time staff. Tap room, kitchen, and event employment between 70 and 90 full and part-time staff. The estimated daily truck trips between 4 and 6 under full operation. Again, they intend to operate the brewery, but it's not just a brewery. Tap room, they're going to have classic American food at this facility. They'll have an event center that could accommodate up to 200 to 250 people. They'll have a brig, which is a 50-room capacity area for next to the tap room. The key thing about this particular project is that it does not necessarily fit in to one of our existing zoning districts. So the next item, which is 19-18, goes into significant detail that talks about how we are creating a new district for this particular development, because it has the brewery, which is more of an industrial or manufacturing use. It's got a hotel. It's going to have retail elements. It's going to have tours. It's going to have restaurants. It's going to have a number of things that make up this entire development. So we are creating a PDD, a planned development district, for this particular project. The district that you have in front of you goes through some significant detail with respect to the permitted uses on the site, highlighting, of course, the hotel and the brewery, but then goes into a lot of accessory uses from brewery tours, tasting rooms, game rooms, retail stores, service industries, outdoor event spaces, a number of different things that could accompany the development that they're proposing. We did identify that there could possibly be a conditional use needed with an outdoor cabaret, whether or not alcoholic beverages are served or sold as part of an accessory use. We've identified that there are certain uses that we do not want to see here. We've mentioned those uses in the district. Because, again, of its unique location, we've identified some very specific dimensional standards from the lot size, the lot area, the open space. Keeping in mind where this facility is located along I-94, as you can see, all of the land to the east is made up of the Des Plaines River watershed, conservancy, floodplain area, land of which is owned by the Village of Pleasant Prairie, was donated to us a number of years ago. So there's a large conservancy area just to the east of them, and actually to the north of them, and for the most part to the south. There is still one single family home to the south of them at this time. The PDD also goes into some significant details with respect to operational standards, and how the business operates, what types of uses that we can see. We can see outside. There'll be some equipment stored outside, the steel tanks for the brewery operations. Typically, those are wanting to be screened, but because this is actually a brewery, we don't want to see those types of things screened. So we wrote in some provisions to allow for those to be very visible, both inside the facility and outside the facility. We discuss a number of the details with respect to traffic, parking, and access, the driveways that were permitted through the TIA from the DOT. We talk about parking. We get into details as it relates to landscaping, signage, some of the items with respect to signage. And we're still at a more of a conceptual stage, but as you can see, the signage, we don't typically have roof signage, but we thought this would be a very unique opportunity to create something different and very theme-like as part of this use. So we put in a number of provisions that address the signage, the sizes, and the square footages on that site. And then the other thing that we did with respect to the PDD is those sections of the ordinance that we are not changing but are applicable to this development directly, all of those sections are relevant, and we referenced all of those in this ordinance as well. We did not want to rewrite that entire an ordinance from scratch to put all those provisions in. So they will have to comply with those provisions as well. There are some things that we don't have all of the details, so we are recommending approval of the zoning map and the text amendment as presented. At some point over the next 3 to 6 months, as we get into more details, we may need to modify the PUD to address some of the additional nuances of the development as we move forward. So the staff is recommending approval of the comprehensive plan amendments, which is Ordinance 19-17, and that requires a roll call vote, and then the zoning map and text amendments, Ordinances 19-18 and 19-19. Again, these all came with positive recommendations subject to the comments and conditions as outlined in the staff memorandum from the Village Plan Commission.
John. Mike?
Gene, would this be considered a tourist attraction by any?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe tours? Is there accommodations for buses?
We have discussed that with them, and we are going to be working through those issues as to where buses can be parked.
Okay.
We are working through some of those issues.
Okay.
Because otherwise the buses will need to be – will drop off their clients or customers or patrons, and then the buses will have to go to another location and then come back and pick them up. But we are trying to work through that as well.
Okay.
Will there be a tasting room, Gene?
Yes.
Move approval.
This is an exciting development. I like how they've taken all the views off the backyard, the Des Plaines. They enhance it. Like you've said before, Gene, being able to see it from the highway, somebody's driving from here to there, why not stop in Pleasant Prairie and stretch your legs? Plus, the space for the weddings. I know there's not enough space for weddings currently, so or at any other large accommodation. So this will serve that purpose.
That's correct.
Chris? I was just going to say move approval of first ordinance. 1917.
A motion, a second. Any further discussion? Mike?
No.
Okay. Roll call. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
She wanted a roll
call. I need a roll call.
I'm sorry, that was a roll call. It's written here.
John Steinberg?
Aye.
Chris Keckler?
Aye.
Mike Polakoff?
Aye.
Dave Klemisch?
Aye.
Mike Serpy?
Aye.
Move approval of Ordinance 19-18.
Second.
Motion to second. Any further discussion on that ordinance? Hearing none. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries.
Move approval of Ordinance 19-19.
Second.
Motion to second for Ordinance 19-19. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Gene. And that moves us on to item E, receive the Planning Commission recommendation and approve Ordinance 1920, and this is Ordinance 19 and Ordinance 1921 for the zoning map, text amendments to rezone property located at 3875 116th Street, and to create the specific PUD ordinance.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a request for zoning map and text amendments for Ordinances 19-20 and Ordinance 19-21, and this is at the request of the Pleasant Prairie Historical Society, and this is to rezone the property at 3875 116th Street from the I-1 Institutional District to the I-1 PUD Planned Unit Development District. The petitioners are requesting approval of the zoning map and text amendments to rezone the property, and this would be for the development and expansion of the parking area for the future Pleasant Prairie Museum. The Pleasant Prairie Historical Society was formed in 2010 as a volunteer-based nonprofit organization dedicating to collecting, preserving, and exhibiting locally important archaeological, historical, cultural materials and sites, and providing educational opportunities to promote an appreciation of Pleasant Prairie's historical significance. They continue to gather bits and pieces of history to help preserve the past and educate the future about the community. In 2011, the Society established the operational framework and the policies that guide its preservation efforts, and the Society holds annual meetings, community gatherings, and guest speakers, educational outings to foster that deeper community engagement. In 2012, the Society direction changed with the announcement of the donation of the Dublin School. It was purchased by the Elizabeth J. Riley Charitable Trust and given to the Society. The 1927 brick two-room schoolhouse then became the home of the Pleasant Prairie Historical Society, and it was decided that it would be the future home for the Pleasant Prairie Museum. After many months of site work and minor maintenance, it opened its doors for the first time in 2013 in September. And over the last 6-7 years, the Society has been raising money to renovate the school. The Society has now reached pretty much their goals with respect to raising the money that they need to create the museum and to finish the renovations of the schools and school and to expand the parking lot. So as a result, the intent was to expand the parking lot to the greatest extent possible in order to accommodate any events, activities, and possibly even future voting at that location. The site was currently or is currently limited with only 21 parking spaces. With the expansion, there would be a total of 50 parking spaces. This is a slide of the existing site and parking lot at that southeast corner. And the slide now currently shows the proposed parking lot expansion. The parking lot will not be any closer than it is currently to the existing east property boundary line, and we're intending to keep it similar setbacks to 116th Street. There is currently a asphalt parking area on the very southwest corner of the site that's currently used by AT&T, as there's an AT&T substation at that location. That asphalt is going to be removed, and then a parking lot which will accommodate AT&T as well as the museum and the Historical Society will be put in to accommodate all the users of the site. Currently, the parking lot expansion will be we're requesting the expansion to the west, 10 feet from the west property line adjacent to 39th Avenue, no closer than 18.9 feet from the south property line, and then there'll be a reduction to 10 feet to the north property line. Also, as part of the PUD, there's accommodations to be made for the signage, and the sign will be a monument sign that's being proposed. Will not be allowed to be any closer than 5 feet to any property line, but the size restriction would be limited to 6 feet maximum in height and 100 square feet in area, and it would be a ground-lit sign. It would not be internally illuminated. With that, this is a matter that was before the Village Plan Commission at their last meeting with the public hearing. There were some comments and questions that were brought to the attention of the staff as well as to the Society and the Plan Commission. The neighbor to the north wanted to make sure that there were some additional plantings along the north side of the parking lot adjacent to 116th Street, as they have a home that they recently purchased 4 years ago to the north side. And so they were concerned with some headlight screening. So the Society will be planting some bushes along the north end of the parking lot. And along the east side, there will be some berming and some landscaping as well on that side. And there will be some additional landscaping on the west side of the site. There were also some questions with respect to dark sky compliance and parking lot lights. But there needs to be parking lot lights if there's events going on at night. But the electrical designer indicated that they could be set or censored so that they're on when there is an event, and when there's not an event, just the schoolhouse lights would be on, so that wouldn't be lit up all night long. Question. And the DSIS cameras would be IR cameras, so we wouldn't have to worry about that.
That was my question about the lighting in the parking lot. So good job.
Maximum of about 15 feet, but the intent is it will be shielded and directed downward, so it won't create a problem for the neighbors when the lighting is on. But again, currently right now at night, the building lighting is on, and that will need to stay on. Again, those lights will be, they're intended to be historic in nature with respect to the design and shape and style, and those all had directed downward lighting that will be constructed.
Thank you.
They can do a pretty good job with the lights. If you look at the new lights on Highway H, from the roundabout going south, the light shines on the road and actually stops right at the property line, and there is no illumination of the private property. So I'm sure they're going to use the same technology.
Gene, how do you address the water flow? Is there any kind of plan, anything we have to do for the water since we're putting asphalt over dirt?
No, the stormwater goes where it naturally goes right now, crosses 116th Street and heads over to the creek there. The entire site's only 3/4 acre, plus there's only like 0.3 acres of asphalt there. So it wasn't enough asphalt pavement or anything to require like a detention pond or something on the site. But it just goes downstream typically to the creek down to the north.
Okay. And what it looks like there's going to be an accessible entrance on the west side?
That's correct.
What's
that correct.
Going to look like?
So on the west side, there's actually a window there now. The whole west side of the parking lot is going to be regraded, so the whole area will be brought down. But there will need to be some retaining walls on either side, but the grade is going to be substantial with respect to bringing it down so that you can actually enter on the west side. So it will be handicapped accessible on the west side to the lower level.
Okay. It's a split entry building, so accessible.
So it'll be there's an upper level, a mid-level that has bathrooms on either side, and then a lower level. And the lower level is primarily where the gathering space will be, or people will hold special events or speakers or things like that.
Okay.
And that will be the accessible level. And a handicapped accessible bathroom is being constructed in that lower level at this time as well.
And then on the east side, it looks like there's a sidewalk being added. Is that to the lower level as well, or is that to upstairs?
So that exit from the building is actually at mid-level.
Okay.
So so from the basement or the lower level, you have to go up about five or six steps, and then you can go out at that entrance right there. You can go out, and then fire department required a hard surface to hard surface, so a sidewalk from that exit to the parking lot.
Okay.
So there's an exit to the east, there's an exit to the west, and then or you could go through the building, two more exits through on either side of the building to go up to the main level out the front door.
It can be tricky working with old buildings. It's a nice creative use of what was there to make it happen.
Yes.
John, the neighbor across the street brought up about lights flashing in her. She also brought up about the intersection, about people not stopping for the stop sign. Even though this is a good plan, what we're doing here, I think even though the stop sign on 116th Street is not related to this development, by adding a flashing stop sign for eastbound and westbound will add to the safety of this of people coming and going here. As people fly through that intersection, I think the police department will show that there's been numerous accidents on this corner because of negligence.
I do have a call in to Clement to talk to him about that. The one concern I have for this woman is that the way that the light is set up going to the south, it's a flashing, pulsating red. And my concern for her is that there'll be this flashing red light outside of her home. And so, I mean, it's something to consider because that could be
I think it'll be in a position that it shouldn't affect her if that's what she's worried about. At least for eastbound 116th, because you're coming over the hill, I think it...
Are you talking about 116th?
Mike,
this would be 139th Avenue is what I was talking
about. Well, it's 39th, right, but people coming eastbound 116th are blowing that stop sign. And they're blowing it. They're blowing both ways, don't get me wrong. But I think for the people coming out of this parking lot, for somebody heading eastbound on 116th not stopping at 39th Avenue can cause a problem for somebody leaving the History Center.
Mike, I think John and Matt and I can evaluate some traffic safety calming there and re-look at that. I don't want to make any commitments right now, just given I'd rather evaluate it with staff and
I just want to bring it to your attention. I think I support flashing stop signs at intersections that are high speed.
Right.
Seems to me at some point in time, I don't know when, it was back before, that we'd either the county or the village or maybe both of us jointly had looked at putting a roundabout at this intersection. Matt, just from eyeballing that. You know, I think the Historical Society, you know, runs right out to where they would end up losing some spaces, parking
spaces
and lands if that went in. And I'm not suggesting we put one in now, but at some point I think, you know, the county's going to be looking to transfer that road back to that road, 39th Avenue, back to Pleasant Prairie. And of course, we have 116th Street. That might be the long range fix is to put the roundabout in there. I don't think anybody's done a study on it, whether or not it would be, you know, the benefit would outweigh the expenses of it, or would be proved to be beneficial over a signalized intersection. Do we have enough land to work there with one, do you think? Or
I think we did look at the roundabout, and there might, when a roundabout, if and when one got placed in there, there would be a need to reconstruct maybe a little bit at the edge of the parking lot, but it wasn't hugely significant impact. You're right. We did. There was a tentative long-term plan for a roundabout there, but I don't think we ever got to a point that we knew the costs and everything. I think there's a site issue too, in that intersection. That
39th
yeah. Part of it would have had to been cut down. So,
which might be a good reason to do one.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we've had our fair share of accidents there. And I think it has been speed-related on 39th, traveling north, and cars on 116th Street, not judging that speed, and bam. So, that being said, I'd recommend approval of the zoning map amendment, ordinance number 1920 and ordinance 1921.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for adoption of 1920 and 1921. Further discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The record show I recuse myself from voting because I am the petitioner. Mr. Serpy says that's not right.
Okay. Item F is consider approval of resolution 1923 authorizing the submission of a Wisconsin Department of Transportation Facilities and Economic Assistance, TEA grant adoption. Isn't that the one?
That's what we just did.
No, that's the one.
Go ahead.
All right, let's go.
Just take over.
It's like a coup. Do you have that in scouting where comes in and just takes over?
I got missed something. Anyway, I have no comments.
As Trustee Serpy said, we're on item F, and that's consider approval of resolution 1923, and this is authorizing submission of a Wisconsin Department of Transportation Facilities Economic Assistance T-Grant application to offset public roadway improvement costs for the State Line Corporate Park.
I thought that's one you had interest in.
No. That's the guy out there.
Mr. President, members of the board, the Transportation Economic Assistance, or T-Grant, would support the Fresenius Cabe development and the State Line 94 Corporate Park by helping to offset public roadway improvement costs. The village would administer and oversee the public improvements and would have jurisdictional responsibility for the transportation improvements. The T-Grant program provides matching state grants to governing bodies for such items such as roads, rails, harbors, and airport projects that help attract employers to Wisconsin, or to encourage business and industry to remain and expand in the state. The goal of the T-Grant program is to attract and retain businesses in Wisconsin and thus create and increase the number of jobs. The business cannot be speculative, and local communities must assure that the number of jobs anticipated from the proposed project will materialize within 3 years from the date of the project agreement and remain for another 4 years. The purpose of this resolution is to authorize the submission of the T-Grant application on behalf of the Village of Pleasant Prairie for the State Line 94 Corporate Park for Fresenius Cabe, again, for the 95 jobs that they are proposing to create.
I have one question, and I think it's going to come into more critical vision when the agreement between the state and the village takes place. But the existing T-Grants we have now in the corporate park for rail, the state, every year we have to get a report from the companies that are providing that service to we have to find out how much, you know, it came in on the rail and how many employees they had to satisfy the grant. So that's a, you know, that's an administrative chore that we do every year. And Kenosha County does that to a certain extent for the 165T grant that was completed. And that ended at 20 years where they needed to provide that. So on this one, my question is who's going to be responsible? Because when the responsibility is going to be that person has to pay back the grant if they don't deliver. Who's going to be the responsible party on the T grant?
So the village is drafting a separate memorandum of understanding agreement between the village and Fresenius Kabi and with State Line 94, which outlines those obligations and those responsibilities, as well as who would be responsible for repaying back the state if those jobs did not materialize or not kept for the period of time. So we are actually working on that, and we have a second document that's going to be coming before the board at their next meeting that addresses that very question.
It'd be my preference as you guys work on your negotiations that the businesses be the one responsible for the reporting. Now, if you want to divide out, you know, who, you know, if the developer is getting the benefit for this for the construction reduction in price, and if they're the ones that pay the penalty or what have you. But I just want to be sure that, you know, we're talking to the right people on an annual basis as to what's happening, you know, with their businesses, and then, you know, how that liability transposes to the ultimately, to protect the village if for some reason nothing, they don't make their markets, or there's a proportional failure, you know, some businesses don't make it and some do. So,
and Mike, just so you know, that is a valid concern, and we appreciate you bringing it up during this meeting. That's something that I know our staff, we've been working through in the MOU in part. With a development or any developer, they create an LLC that, you know, as soon as the development is complete, that entity could cease to exist. And at that point in time, it makes it very difficult to continue to hold their feet to the fire as far as the MOU is concerned. And so those are things that we're working through. And so as we bring the MOU, hopefully that will address specifically your concern.
Thank you. That being said, I'd recommend that the board approve Resolution 1923 for the application of a T grant on behalf of State Line 94. Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item 10, Village Board comments. Just for the scouts' benefit to clarify, item E, I also serve as the president of the Pleasant Prairie Historical Society. So I was the petitioner on those two resolutions there. And that is why I'm allowed to partake in the discussion, but not to vote on an item where there may be a conflict. So that was the reason for the recusal on that. But, and also the Historical Society is always looking for volunteers. So if you need a project or something to do, please contact myself or Gene Werby. And thank you for being here this evening. Other board comments? If not, we'll move on to item 11, which is consider entering into executive session pursuant to section 19.851E Wisconsin Stats to discuss, deliberate, or negotiate the purchase of public property, invest of public funds, or conduct other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session.
So move.
Second.
Is that a roll call vote?
Yes. Yeah. Mike Serpy?
Aye.
Dave Klimisch?
Aye.
Mike Polakoff?
Aye.
Chris Keckler?
Aye.
John Steinberg?
Aye. The board will return to open session for the purpose of adjournment. No other business will be conducted.